The preliminary study meeting of the County Commission has come to an end. I'd like to call to order the Taney County Commission meeting of October 3rd, 2011. I'd like to call on Helen Soutie to offer a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, to give you thanks for your love and for your mercy. I pray now, Lord, that you would guide and direct each thing that's said and done this morning that would be your will and to your glory. Help us, God, to lead a life that's pleasing to you and gracious to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mr. Strahan, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve meeting minutes 9:23, 9:26, and 9:29 with changes.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve County Commission meeting minutes of September 23rd, 26th, and 29th. As corrected. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable.
Motion to approve checks number 326124 through 326218, warrants 5498 and 5499.
Is there a second?
Was there a transfer in there, Jim, from Road and Bridge? Or was that just,
No, no transfer. It's all we're doing is we're going to pay one bill with the credit card, but there's no transfers.
Okay, it was paid through the, okay.
Yep.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks 326124 to 326210, 326211 through 326218, and warrants 5498 and 5499. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I'm going to wait just a moment for Mr. Cotty to step back in for our road vacation.
We have a copy. We're making two copies now.
I might say that for public comment this morning, Melissa Duckworth with Emergency Management met with us to apprise us of a full-scale exercise. It's going to be held this Saturday from 9 till noon in Shadow Rock Park.
I didn't get the numbers on the announcement for the trash pickup day. It was a little bit light Saturday or Friday, but they thought that it usually is during that time when it's busy early in the morning. And then when I was up there, it kind of slowed down and then it picked up again. But I didn't get the numbers to see where we were at. Every year it's been an increase of the number, but we're I believe we're so much more organized with the roll-offs than we were that it doesn't appear
as chaotic.
Yeah, as much when we used to have the big heap and trash pile out there, it looked a lot more than it does after it's compacted and pressed in with the track loaders. Hopefully we'll have those numbers maybe next week or something.
We don't have any.
Are we going to presentation on this?
I mean, I thought it was just a process.
That's all right.
I don't know.
Which one are we on?
We have scheduled at this time road vacations. Powell Road is the road in particular that was scheduled. And until paperwork is received, shall we continue with that matter open?
Mm-hmm. I make a motion that we leave the Powell Road vacation open for decision in this quarterly meeting. These have to be turned in at the first of every quarter. We don't have to make the decision on it today, but it has to be
we have to open the
and
hearing.
We have to leave it open hearing.
Do we have to be, I'll second the motion, but hold on, I'm just trying to figure out, do we open the hearing first and then leave the open hearing non-adjourned?
Right.
What do you think, Ron?
Well, I think statutorily, four times a year we bring up road vacations.
Right.
And we are at this time bringing up road vacations, one in fact being Powell Road, and we can either make the decision about that today or at a later time. And I think that if paperwork is completed and finalized today, maybe it's something that needs to be brought up today, if not then Thursday or the following Monday or whenever we wish to bring it up.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any remonstrances that have been filed against this road vacation.
No.
So what that means simply is no one in opposition. And I just believe that we can bring it back up at our discretion.
The way that has taken place in the past, Ron, and I think, is you ask if there's anyone present in the public hearing that would be in opposition to this, and the hearing stays open then for the... And then the hearing stays open until we have a decision.
Should we just table the... Should we just, rather than table, Danny, you want to rather just table the Powell Road vacation? That leaves it open?
That's fine.
You want to just do it that way?
Yes.
From a cleaner motion?
Actually, the presiding commissioner has to ask for the opposition. If there's anyone in opposition, then we just table it and leave it open.
Well, my question is, before we do that, for example, we have scheduled for 30 minutes staff departmental meeting. If the paperwork comes in at that time, will we be able to bring it up off of the table if it's tabled? I don't know what have you done
traditionally
in the past meetings?
We have a separate open a hearing.
Open hearing.
Actual hearing for the Powell Road vacation. We hear the request, any opposition, and then we usually make rule on that hearing. Then we close that hearing and go on to a regular session. We actually have a hearing within the hearing, within our commission meeting. So that's what we've done in the past.
You have thoughts on that, Frank?
Not sure the procedure that you would follow. If you can call for any comments from the public for or against the Powell Road vacation, as Danny suggested, that's something that needs to be done at some point, and especially for the people here. I would then follow Danny's suggestion to hold off and keep the door open. We don't have the paperwork here.
And that's my problem, Frank.
I may be able to throw some light on it. I might be able to make a phone call and find out if there's going to be any forthcoming today. And then the only issue would be, can you keep the matter of road vacations open and pending throughout the term? And if you can't, you can't. I can't tell you one way or the other now, but I can sure tell you later on after I have a chance to look at it, but at least keep your options open.
Here's my personal dilemma. We know that there's a road vacation out there. We know that council has worked on road vacation. And if we officially open this to hear a petition for the vacation and there is no petition, I don't know how we can discuss it. I'm willing to do that. I just...
Fair enough.
I just want to be sure that we do this correctly.
As the notice comes out for this in our agenda, it's asking us to proceed with a public hearing. As we proceed with a public hearing and the questions are asked, if there's anyone in opposition, that's usually the way it goes. The paperwork that is missing is part. In the past, we have had a certain question that needed to be answered, and we have not made the decision after the hearing. We've tabled it and made the decision later for the come before us as and have a public hearing, and that's statutory.
As an option, can you move this to a later point in today's agenda?
Sure, we can postpone to a definite time to the end of our session, and if that helps you get some more information.
Yes.
Let me, and we can do that in just a moment. Let me officially open this meeting to hear road vacations, specifically that of Powell Road. And what I will ask for is any in the audience that are in favor, and specifically I'd like to call on Road and Bridge, who's been involved in this process, and at least we'll get these comments on the record. Randy, can I have you join us? So that we have something as a matter of record so that we can begin the process. Randy, you're aware that, in fact, there is a Powell Road and that there is, in fact, work underway to see that it's vacated?
Yes.
Has Road and Bridge looked into that, and what is their feelings about the road vacation?
We've actually have a posting on at our office, so we do know people are working on getting the sections of it vacated where the original plat was, where the road lays today, and that's what I'm assuming they're vacating the platted parts that don't apply to the existing road.
Is there anyone else that's here that's in favor of vacation of Powell Road? Is there anyone present that is in opposition to the vacation of Powell Road? And to the best of our ability, through Road and Bridge, through Council, or through the Commission, has anyone received a written remonstrance in opposition to the vacation of Powell Road? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to postpone to a definite time, at which time we can make the decision whether to move forward or not.
So move to postpone to a definite time, 11 a.m. this morning, the road vacation of Powell Road.
And I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to postpone to the definite time of 11 a.m. this morning, the discussion regarding the vacation of Powell Road. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. So we'll bring it back up at 11 a.m., and if there is a phone call or calls that could be made to pursue that paperwork, we should do that. And at that time, if we don't have it in place, then we can make the decision to move it forward and reschedule. Is that all right, gentlemen?
That's great. That's fine. forgot to ask if that interferes with Mr. Cotty's scheduling at all.
No, sir.
Okay.
He's here right until 11, looks like.
All right. And that's, I apologize for that, because we made a decision earlier asking if you had something else in mind. So,
Harlan, would you like to join us? Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Jillian.
Jillian.
Yes, sir.
You can't say you're shocked.
Well, I can, too.
Yes, you can. I don't know if you mean it, but you can say it. Redicate your red next.
What?
That last check.
That's a truth.
He told me he couldn't be shocked. He said, yes, I can. I said, okay, you can't be shocked.
Was that gentleman, I have a question about that. Was there an attachment to that last agreement?
At 10 o'clock, we can talk about it in greater detail.
Okay.
We're going into the next item on our agenda, which is staff departmental meeting with Road and Bridge. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Randy, I want to commend you when you came in this morning. During the prayer, you took your hat off at the door. Not everyone does that. I appreciated it. Where would we like to begin? First thing I have listed is salt shed, a fill dirt agreement.
Salt shed, how's that one?
The salt building, I believe Harlan and David Stottle and a couple others had met over there. I was interviewing people and they filled me in. After they looked at the site, and I believe Danny was there also.
I went
to review the existing building to see what they could do with it to strengthen it or rebuild a portion of it or however. I think it's beyond that point, and they were looking at just constructing a new one on the other side of the lot, which would help as far as runoff, which this one has a problem with water running in. To the bottom of it, right in on the salt. So they looked at that possibility, and we were getting Steve Biggs looked at it. I was going to put him kind of in charge of building it if we could get to construct one. He's looking at a material cost of around $25,000 to construct. That's concrete with wood top, metal roof. And that's renting forms to be able to do that. It's cheaper to do that than construct all the wood forms, and especially when we don't have planned.
And that'll give us the capacity we're talking about, 12 plus loads?
Yeah, it'll be the capacity of the existing building plus a little more. I mean, okay. It's pretty much the same dimension as that building, so it's it'll hold more than our original shop.
As we reviewed what we had there, the existing salt shed will serve a purpose of storage for some major equipment that we leave setting out now. Harlan had made mention of putting the chip seal machine in there and
right.
Three other things. It will not, the strength of the building itself will not hold the capacity of salt that was needed on that location.
Right.
So to build another structure makes a lot more sense. We have to do some, they have an overhead line there that sets in the general location that goes up to the oil tank. That would be a, I think Randy's already visited with Empire about it, and they would take and move that line to underground. And as they move that line to underground, that opens up a whole new area up there to build this salt shed.
They want to trade what we, the other spot. So I would say then let's build it.
It makes perfect sense. I went through with David and Harlan, and there was some others there that had different opinions on it. But the use of the other building, it's not like we're not that we're losing anything, because it's much needed to get this equipment out of the weather, and it'll be a very purpose fulfilled if we take that and put an underground line there. It opens up a whole new deal. I think you said it was somewhere around 3,000
to bury the line.
Yeah, about 2,600-2,700, and then we have to
Open the trench.
We got to open and close the trench by the conduit. Empire will run the conductor line. We will have to upgrade a current fuse box that serves the hot tank. It's that line that serves the hot tank, which will also serve lights on this salt building.
Right.
The line will be in close proximity.
One question. So. The building itself is not going to fall down anytime soon, right?
No.
Can we use it for anything else besides tearing it down? Can we just leave it up? Is that what we're thinking about?
Yeah, that's our intention. Yeah.
Okay, leave it up. That's what you're talking about, storing it, using it as storage.
Yes. Right. Okay. It will take the seven in of the salt. If you're loading that salt, take
right.
the pressure.
Push it out.
Stand the pressure.
Right.
But it will still stand a long time.
As a storage building.
Storage.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm saying go for it.
Right. If anything had to be done to it, like the outside walls could be cabled together, and so
we're good moving forward. Just
I think that the underground service, the salt shed, and then, gentlemen, I have brought this up before when this was first brought to our attention that we was going to buy the building. We're going to put an open drain at the front entrance.
Okay.
That actually it's a directional drain, and they have used them in the county here where we have rapid water.
You're talking about the driveway and the highway?
Yes.
Yeah, right there,
yes.
Like an open grid. Like
it's a trench drain is what they actually
drain.
Call
it. It
be a hill 40-foot probably from the road, and it would catch all that excess water.
Okay.
And
that makes sense to do that too,
right? And did you were you getting prices on it?
Yes, I haven't got any yet, but I'm going to acquire the price on that.
But it's much needed there, and I encourage you to go out and look that facility over and the distance and everything that we've got there. It's going to be a great asset to us. And I actually went out and reviewed the barn at on your side, Jim, the West Barn,
okay.
And looked at. After we had the presentation the other day from the school,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of traffic out there on a Saturday with all the kids playing flag football and all the activities they have at those schools, I think we should look at either three laning or a new entrance to that thing. Or
I've thought about a three laning is what I've thought. A turning lane the whole way down would help.
Something is going to have to be done there. It's just. It's not only school time,
right?
Where there's so much activity.
It's just busy now.
It's just busy, and so something's going to have to be something down there, and that's going to take part of our facility out there.
Right, right. I'm trying to. What I was trying to look for real fast, Randy, is just the right budget line item on any capital improvement you're doing on that building. We need to take it out of maybe our capital improvement line within Road and Bridge, so it doesn't take from another line item.
Right.
And I'm just looking to see which one's the best line on it. But when you enter your orders, your invoices, just make sure you use the capital line up, which I'm, once again, I'm...
We were basically just going to put one basic purchase order toward that, similar to what we've done with the hot tank. That way, you know, various materials come out of different line items, but we put one number to it. That way you can keep that total cost together, and then we can take it out of whatever line item budget we want to, so.
What Jim is saying is we don't need to take it out of any individual line items other than capital improvements.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for our own.
Because that's what it is, and that encompasses a whole lot of things.
Yeah, and then we can throw it just that way we know it's a one-time expenditure, and we don't have to budget it for next year because. I'm just trying to.
We just put everything under the back driveway and the.
Everything that has anything to get that facility up to speed to use.
Okay. Now that's. The fence is already out for bid, so that.
Good.
Now we put in there that they must come and look at the site so they, everybody's bidding apples to apples so we get some good competitive bidding. So I worked with Ron on that, and David and Harlan and I met out there and looked at the best possibilities and marked it out. So we've got that lined up.
Is there anything else that we looked at up there that was minor that needed to be done that we talked about?
Have we looked at heating and air or for the office part out there at all?
I talked with the building is got power to it and everything. I've got to meet with Empire and get the name changed over to all that in our name, so that's not a problem. We will have once we get the water turned on. They do have one of the hydrants that leaks. We met with a couple of MoDOT gentlemen, and they kind of give us an idea where some of these water lines run. And one of them we'll probably have to repair, but they won't turn the water on unless one of us is there to we'll check out, make sure there isn't any other leaks anywhere.
There should have still been heat and air in the building. Correct?
There is heat and air there. I mean, it's propane heat, 50% left in the tank, so
okay. We
got some to start with.
And
they
it works.
Have propane heaters in there.
You may want to send someone out.
We didn't turn them on, but.
I was going to say, why don't you send someone out there just to double check it works?
We will check that out.
Yeah, because.
But all the doors work. We've already checked that out, and I've already met with IT department to get the internet and then the computer lined up over there. So.
You're going to have to get with Rick. I can't find a line item that.
We'll get a line item to pull it from. So.
I can't figure it out. No, it's
like. Are you looking under Part B Trust?
245 and 250, and I can't find a line item where it has contingency.
Several hundred thousand dollars in it, so look for the one, the big. No, there's not that much.
There's.
Just tell me, just look for one with big numbers and go for it.
That's what Ron's suggestion is. I think we're probably going to be a little more specific than that.
Okay.
Next? You want to do the map?
You want me to explain
I'm
this?
Just curious.
This map I give you, it has to do with a drainage issue that Chris Robertson, another gentleman, and forgive me, I forget his name, but he also called me about this. The License Bureau is experiencing some flooding during heavy water, rainfall and whatnot, and so we got water coming to this site where you see that red vehicle in the corner mm-hmm. where the License Bureau is. There is a drain box at that site. And then it's piped between where the Masonic Lodge building that I've highlighted in blue, and that's not to scale. But it goes through a kind of a small 10-inch or 12-inch pipe, goes between the buildings, and goes all the way down to the ditch line there at the city street there between that building and the post office on that street. Problem is it's not handling the runoff and it backs water up and the License Bureau, the water runs in the door. The culvert's not put in deep enough. The Masonic Lodge owns that site and that parking lot. We already, where our planning and zoning building and everything, we do have a pipe that runs and takes care of the water off of our building and that lot that runs it to this lower ditch on that lower street. But they are receiving a lot of water. The issue is
but it's coming off the city road and the city.
It's coming off the city road. It's coming off these other buildings across this street, running across the parking lot. They got water coming from numerous areas. They just don't have enough drainage to handle it through the building.
Is any of this, is in there, which way is the water running right now?
Okay.
Can you just show me this? It's all going from the street down. I mean, I'm going off memory, but doesn't it all go this way?
That.
Yeah. Jim. Water all goes this way. There's a box here.
Right.
So there's a pipe that comes out this direction. This, we have a current culvert that runs through here that's handling everything.
All of our stuff.
All of our stuff here. There is water coming off of this area. These buildings that all sheet flows across here. That comes across the street.
And that's a city street.
This is a city street.
Is it fixable, and what would it take to fix it?
It's fixable. It needs a deeper box put right here. It needs about an 18-inch culvert, 15 to 18-inch culvert, and another box here to turn it, bring it down here to daylight it, because everything has to run to this point over here.
And so ours runs to this. So it'd run this way then?
It would run this way down to the cross pipe, which is in this area.
I don't mean to be insensitive, but wouldn't the request come from the state to the city?
That city's who contacted me, Chris Robertson, and
but it's
thinking we own this, but this doesn't show we own that. It belongs to Sonic Lodge.
Yeah. So this lot, the reason they called us because they thought we owned this.
Well, let me ask you a question. In the building of this building, which was built by the county to replace the lodge hall and the property that was taken,
right,
did that create any of the problem for this water?
Well,
were we responsible for any of this?
Well,
I guess
they provided drainage at that time, and that building's been in existence for two, 3 or 4 years, and they did provide drainage. They've got half of the building roof drains off into a piping that comes down and drains into here. This should have been put in a little bit deeper because they've got just a simple gutter here at the walkway, and it backflows and it comes right into the door.
This building here, this isn't drawn to scale. This thing runs on over here this far, you know, and it's it's all, it's.
They do have a water issue, and it's solvable to a certain point,
but is it our responsibility? I guess that's the question. I don't see where it is, but
I don't think it is ours.
I mean, we don't own the building, we don't own the land, and it's been working fine for years, and it's all city property or state property. Because isn't that state?
Well, this
is privately operated.
Is owned by an individual, and the state leases that, right?
Right.
So
part of it. Part of it. And then there's a ministry here.
Don't have anything to do with
it. I don't think it had anything with us.
We do have a...
We're capturing our water.
Ours is taking care of the water here. This pipe they run between these, they should cap this end of it. It would be less if this has to handle it. This takes care of the runoff off this building.
How much time would be involved in the fix there?
You're looking at least right now over $1,000 just in material, not including labor.
The problem is
what we measured out and kind of figured out the way of fixing it.
The problem we have with fixing it is it could create other problems.
Because if this can't handle the volume,
if it can't handle the volume,
then we're going to have to fix this.
This ditch was an issue, and we fixed that issue whenever we built the building. But this building coming over this far doesn't have anything to do with, I mean, we're talking about a period of time now that's, there hasn't been a problem.
I know, but there's something that's causing the water to back up. Why wouldn't it back? Well,
that's right. Okay. That's the thing, Ron. I don't know whether we've had that much rain at any one time to cause that problem.
Can I suggest that we have Road and Bridge contact city and express that we feel it's the city's?
That's what I do.
Okay. I just want to bring that to you guys, let you be aware of.
And if you find a way, if you find something that shows that we have any responsibility, to share that with you. So.
Okay.
I've got a fill dirt agreement from a Larry Huffman.
Yes, that he was wanting some fill dirt, seeing our crews working, finishing up a project in Pro Tem, and part of it was some ditch work they were doing down there. And our policy is that we could give him three loads. I could approve that, but he was wanting more than that, and we can't approve that. He'd have to fill out a dirt agreement. That has to come before you gentlemen. So he wants more dirt than just three loads. So.
And we have plenty over there?
I think they pretty much, we probably have more later on, but right now I think they pretty much finished the project before he got the dirt agreement and everything in. But
what's your recommendation on this, Randy?
We give him a dirt agreement, and then if we have a future job down there and we have excess dirt, it would be a place to go with it.
So what this is stating that it's allowable, but it doesn't bring any liability on us to make sure that we provide it.
Correct.
Right. We don't have to provide it right now. I mean, it's just whenever it's convenient for us. We have a place to go with excess material. I mean, we don't have to.
I'm fine with it.
It's just when we have projects in the area. That's how we work most of the time.
He's not a county employee. I know that.
Right. So. I don't know the gentleman. I mean, we just had him come in and fill out a dirt agreement.
Where's it at? Where's he wanting it at?
I'm not sure. Jason dealt with him. He was doing a ditch work project in the area, and the guy come by and asked him about it, and I told Jason our policy, told him what he'd need to do, and he definitely was wanting more than three loads that we could approve, and so he has, that has to come before you guys.
We have quite a need for fill. As we talked about over there the other day, that's the reason I want to know location on these. We have a lot of fill, but we're going to have a need for fill to utilize the property to its utmost potential. So I need to know the location before I would be wanting to approve something like this.
Okay, well, we can get a location.
He said there's no project scheduled anytime soon. We just used it all, right? So there's.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much finished with that on the corner.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just working that finishing that ditch on the corner on Thunder Road. Is a project. This guy evidently lives not too far from there. I'm not sure where, but. We can't just, without a dirt agreement, we can't help him.
Right.
Of course, he didn't get that in time. We finished the project. But if we have anything else in that area any time in the future, well, then.
What do you guys want to do? I mean, that's all the way. That's Thunder Road ends down Pro Tem area. So. Right. If we don't have anything, that's a long haul to be hauling material where we would need to be hauling it.
Yeah, but they can.
The whole idea behind a dirt agreement is to save the county money on long hauls.
Yes.
And so, if there's anything else comes up there, ditch cleaning, widening of the road of anything. I don't have any problem with it if it's not anything.
I'm not sure.
Well, do you guys, we need to make a motion, or we just on these dirt agreements?
I think so.
We do.
All right. I'll make a motion that we go ahead and
approve that one.
Approve this one.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the dirt agreement for
Larry
by and between Larry Huffman and the County of Taney. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I will sign it then.
you've got dirt agreement and drainage issue.
Yeah.
And then road signs.
Road sign.
I have one.
I didn't put the road signs on there, but I do have some sign issues and what you guys...
Okay, we've got two that are road sign issues. Jim has one and I have one. First being Harding Boulevard. Do you know where that is?
No.
Runs off of T Highway. It's down across
from... Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it's a listed road. It's platted. That's the name, and they've asked for a 911 sign.
Okay.
I have talked to the assessor's office, pulled it up, looked, it is platted, it is named. I went over and talked to 911. Their druthers were that we would approve naming the street, and that's why I bring that up.
And I'm fine with that.
That's the process.
Fine.
Do we need a motion to do that?
I don't believe so. Not in the past we haven't.
Then I will just put for 911 that we, commission agrees by consensus that they can name this road. It goes down to the Grandview subdivision.
Isn't that posted on the plats, Ron?
It's already.
We just to go ahead and approve the sign for
sign.
The plat.
Yeah.
In accordance with the plat or something
like that. The other one is Keir Court over off of, you know, where that is. The I went over, he wanted children to play sign, went and talked to him about that. When we started talking about the whole situation, you know how that street is basically a dead end, it's a cul-de-sac. They're getting a lot of people thinking it's a cut-through road. And so they wanted to know if we could put a dead end or a no outlet sign by the entrance.
We can put a dead end sign, that's not
that,
a problem.
They thought that may reduce the traffic a lot. A lot of the traffic they have is people trying to cut through. And there's at the cul-de-sac, and there's a bunch of kids playing. The other thing is, they said this, and I looked at it, and I didn't see any other speed limit sign. The speed limit sign is only visible from the dead end. But when you come down the road, you know, you take Bee Creek, and then you take the, was it Reinhardt, and then you turn left, and I don't know what that road left.
Sherry View.
Sherry, okay. When you come off Sherry onto Keir Court, I didn't see a speed limit sign the whole way down until you turned around at the cul-de-sac coming back. Maybe we want to put the speed limit sign on the other way, facing the people coming down the hill.
He was supposed to put he put two signs up, one going in, one coming out. But I'll check on that. But
I didn't see the one coming in. Maybe I just missed it. But
I think it was just up around the corners where he's supposed to before they can gain any speed. We'll check on that. But
yeah.
He was supposed to install two signs.
Okay. There, so. If you would double check that, maybe a dead end or a no outlet or something like that to reduce the traffic. So.
What do you want to do with all the existing children at play signs that throughout the county we have over 200 and some, I know documented, but is there anything you want to do right now, or just, we're not currently putting any more up, so.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to our attorney about that. We have, you know, our opinion we have, we're operating over a previous county counselor's opinion.
Let's not have a discussion about it. Let's just talk with counsel.
That's
we can
right.
do that today okay. and exactly.
Yeah, let me
start with
make a note of that. Because that's the question is, what do we do with that and all that? So,
okay.
What was the name of that road? That
Keir Court, K-I-I-E-R,
yeah.
Court. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We had something I wrote down, the speed miser.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't find a great deal of information on a good speed minder. The one that I wanted to get that would actually take traffic counts, flash to speed, that type of thing, is the model similar to what we have, almost identical, and I didn't want to buy another one of them because of the recharging problem with it.
Right.
I would like to talk to MoDOT more. They didn't have any, and I was going to try to talk to the Highway Patrol, see what they have or any sites. I did get a couple sites to research, and so I want to research that a little farther as far as that type of equipment. I want, and you guys can help me, I wanted something to be able to put out there that we could put out there for a week without having to recharge it if need be. take traffic counts for that.
Sure.
And also get a little more information, who's speeding, how many, that type of thing, similar to what our current one, but
with a solar option
there, but they won't even, with a solar option, they won't stay charged even all night, and then we question the counts a few times because we're not sure if they're operating correctly. So
we need to find one then.
Right. Any of that type of equipment we haven't had much success with, our lighted signs, solar signs, it seems to be very high maintenance.
Okay.
They're not.
The programmable signs are great, except they're expensive. Shoot them with guns, and we got to replace them. Little numbered boards, that gets a little expensive. But, so.
With the existing one that you have for now, before we leave signs, at Shamlin Road, T Highway, I would like to have that placed there at the intersection. The gentleman said we could set it in his yard, and it's become quite an issue. We did that, I think, in a location in Branson, didn't we, or over in
We did off of
Big Creek somewhere.
Fruit Farm Road, and we did it off of Coon Creek one time, just to remind people
to
speed.
I think set that up for a period of time over there.
To speed minder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ron.
Yes, sir.
I think you had asked that gentleman to come in and maybe visit with us Wednesday about some options. I visited with him this morning. That was the only option that I could come up with. I think he's had a deputy on site or something over there. So, was to put this thing up. I didn't know whether he had tried to talk to you about this issue or not, but I did try to solve the problem as to what we did. He had the same concerns about the children at play signs. I told him that we had to have more discussion about that. And so, anyway, I'm going to, do you guys care if we authorize to go ahead and have this put up down there beforehand?
Speed up the speed minder thing?
Yeah. See if that didn't help.
Yeah.
A couple more things on road signs. I believe I give you guys some information in future. We're supposed to be able to upgrade our yield signs to new criteria. Have you found any information out on that?
Reflective paint?
Well, the high prismatic, but also a certain size, and I think everybody's supposed to.
DOT told me we would not have to retrofit anything.
Okay.
That came on the news the other night.
Only thing new, anything new we put up, we have to have the new standards. The old things, we don't have to retrofit.
Okay. Well, right now we're putting up the high prismatic type.
Okay.
That's all we purchase. So
right.
Anything in the future is all.
Rather than
just engineer grade type.
Right.
Material.
They're not wanting to pass that mandate on down, right?
Correct.
It's pretty expensive for counties to try.
Oh, it'd be horrible.
Fix everything, yeah. You know, as many signs. The other thing, he will need to restock as far as some supplies like posts and anchors and that type of thing, which is he's got a limited budget, which we're trying to keep him within. If he buys them now, he's going to run out before the end of the year. He doesn't want to run totally out because it takes a few weeks to get restocked. Just want to let you know, can we order enough to keep him going until we get the new budget?
Mm-hmm.
He is going to run over, but I don't want to run out of posts and anchors and that type of thing, so I want to be able to just order knowing that's going to run over somewhat.
I would be fine with that. I mean, we're going to spend it now or spend it next year. I mean, the problem is, we don't want him to stop working, so he's got things to do.
And
we need to order whatever supplies he needs. And was this year more than we normally spend?
Well, I mean,
or do we just under budget that line item?
And I think his budget's set a little bit low to keep things replaced. And I mean, some of these signs get expensive. Some of them we've been putting up the older signs. We've got no tourist areas that we could buy a new 9-inch sign and less than a week it's gone, and then
right.
It's repetitive in some of these areas. Keep replacing the signs, so we just put.
I mean, how much over are you talking about in that line item? 5,000?
Yeah, it could probably go over maybe that or less. I wasn't going to go over that much.
I would
but
say
I didn't want him to
we
run
keep
out
him
of
in
stock.
Supplied because otherwise he's going to have nothing to do. So
okay. One other thing I was going to ask, where he's currently located, Death Highway, do you have future plans for that? I mean, I know he talked about the ambulance district. It'd be fairly easy to move him even to the Mount Branson if need be.
That's on the list of things for us to talk about. We kind of want to move him because okay. That space is going to have to be cleaned up anyway. And right now that location is, TCAT is looking at that lot right there. Is there room at Mount Branson? You can.
Yeah, I mean,
he'd be with more people.
As far as his supplies and what he does, he more so works out of pickup. So basically, he just needs a bay in that one storage building's already got shelving similar to what that one had anyway.
I would, Danny,
it'd be easy just to retrofit.
Move him over
there,
wouldn't you? I'd move him over and empty that building because we have some. That's what we're talking about is. Cleaning up that whole intersection area, and then TCAD's looking at it.
Yeah.
We're looking at, there's two or three options we've looked at that property. But yeah, I would think if we can move him, we need to move him.
All right, we'll just plan on that then.
And Dan, you're good with that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. See, the last issue I got is the water agreement.
Water users agreement?
Water users agreement for the Mount Branson.
See, Frank's still stepping out.
Oh.
What is it? Just.
It is.
District 2 water.
Standard agreement with Water District Number 2. And Frank has addressed it.
Right. Then motion to approve. Presiding Commissioner to sign all documents necessary for Water District Number 2 in Mount Branson.
Don't ask me, you say that.
It came out really well, so.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the proposed water users agreement as presented for Mount Branson. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, I think that's it.
That's all I have.
Nothing else? Harlan?
Yes, I do.
A bonus?
Too late?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, though, Harlan. No, go ahead. What is it?
Oil. The basic chip and seal is done. What we do now, we put down the patches, and then we chip and seal over the patches to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of oil. We're close on our line budget. We don't have the final figures off Iowa Colony. I need about 2 distributor loads of oil, which would be roughly 12,000 or so. And I need about 150 ton of coal mix, which would be about 7,500. But we don't know just exactly what's left in that line item. Is there any way we could take from another? Is there room for that anywhere in the rock line item? This week is pretty weather, if at all possible. If we're going to, I'd like to finish it up this week while we got weather.
So you're talking about a $20,000 expense?
Possibly up to that.
Iowa Colony come in under its estimated cost. It took about 200 ton less than what we anticipated, so that was good. So we didn't run over budget there, but I don't have the exact.
Well,
I know he's within or just under 10,000 on that line item, which you guys allowed us, and so we were running close. But
I won't talk about that in a. The executive session deal.
All of this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll let you know.
Okay. That's it, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Bob, sorry to have kept you waiting.
Randy.
We're here to hear your recommendations, Bob. Oh, you're supposed to have a full and complete list for us.
I do at this point.
I did send you the information. I just asked you the cost. I didn't know if had a agreement yet.
Okay. We need to get that worked up. We don't have it scheduled. I guess we'll have to do it on our agenda, put it on our agenda. This is Road and Bridge, though. I was going to talk to him about that Bradleyville agreement with the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had misunderstood. I thought we had sent a intergovernmental agreement down there with them to be signed along with the Mark Twain one.
Right.
Mark Twain had already been done.
Well, I seen one sheet that had Bradleyville and Mark Twain were on the agenda, and I thought maybe both of them. So we'll ask Frank about it when we get with Frank to find out. But okay. Remind me of that, because okay. I talked to Joe. And
we'll bring that agreement up in a sec then.
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, we have scheduled, and this is, I think, the second week in a row, board appointments. We have some that are time sensitive, some that are not, and yet we should move forward to fill them. P&Z of particular interest, because how many members sit on the P&Z board? And we have two vacancies, I think.
We should have a total of 9 members, counting the Road and Bridge Administrator, and we've had 2 recent resignations, so we have 6 currently sitting on the board. One of the big concerns we've had is the last meeting we had in September, we weren't able to obtain a quorum just because we had some members that were out of the area. And so we've just had a kind of a difficult time getting members here for a meeting.
Have the individuals whose appointments terminated on December 31st, are they still considered as active participants until a replacement, or are they not active participants?
Well, it's my understanding on the Planning Commission, I believe that the Commission has reappointed everyone on the Planning Commission. We've just had the 2 recent resignations. On the Board of Adjustment, on the Board of Adjustment, it's my understanding that the 2 members that they have not officially been reappointed for this year.
Are they still serving even though they have not been reappointed?
Yes.
Okay, and their names are?
Okay, David Nelson.
Yes.
And Jack Johnston.
Are both those incorporated areas? Because there is a...
You're exactly correct. Per the statute, the Board of Adjustment is to consist of 5 residents of the county, but not more than 2 of the residents are supposed to be from incorporated areas of the county, and not more than 1 can be a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'll be completely honest.
Say that again. We could have a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission sit on the BOA.
We
actually can. We can have 1.
All right, and let me take you back for 1 other question.
Okay.
It says not more than 2 from incorporated areas. Are we required to have 2, or can we have 5 from non-incorporated? Not that I would consider that. I'm just curious as to how you interpret that.
Now, my feel reading through this is basically all 5 could be from unincorporated areas, or we could have up to 2 that were from
incorporated
areas.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
That's the way that I read it, because it says, but not more than 2 shall be residents of the incorporated area of the county.
Fine. On some of the other board appointments up at the P&Z. Do we need to go ahead and try to do something? I don't have the Big Creek area. As a matter of fact, I had people say they were going to call me back from down there,
yeah.
And I haven't received phone calls yet. Matter of fact, I made those calls again this morning and couldn't get in touch with them, but there's some people to consider from down in the Big Creek area, and that's where we have to go.
Yeah.
I think.
Where's our agriculture FFA teacher from? Is he from that area? Just a question. Doesn't he live down there, or you don't know?
I don't know.
Okay. John?
Oh.
Big Creek, and what's the other?
Beaver.
Uh-huh.
We have two people that are want to be considered from Beaver. And
Who are those, Dan?
Steve Adams and Phil Beaver. As far as I know, you might, if you're writing board appointments down there, we've got him here to take care of these, but would you put, I got a notice that we did have a park board appointment to make also, and it's in the board appointments. And we have, didn't Chip, did you guys receive a notice that Chip had resigned from the park board?
No.
No?
I got a notice this morning.
I haven't been up to the office to look at the paper. Is it in writing?
It was in my paper. Yeah,
I haven't seen it, so. Okay.
And I have a recommendation for that one. If the gentleman isn't already serving in a temporary capacity in there, and that would be Olin Tate. And I would make that appointment. Olin's been to every park board meeting that we've had, and it currently takes care of the Kazee Mills Park for us down and serves as a park director as far as the board down there.
But officially, Chip has resigned?
Mm-hmm. I should have brought that down.
I didn't. He didn't tell me. I saw him there a couple days ago.
I hated that, too, because Chip was a good voice in the meetings that we were in. He always had some good ideas and appreciated his help there.
I wonder if we can get something in writing from the park board regarding that and then move forward, unless you want to move forward today with that point.
Well, they have a little problem getting enough people.
Quorum?
Yeah, for a quorum. And
if you're wanting to make a motion, we're...
Olin's a great member if he's not serving. The reason I say that is because I'm not sure that he wasn't appointed as a temporary on there, and I would have to ask Jillian to look through that.
Isn't it this board that does the appointment, though?
Yes, and I'll make that recommendation that we appoint Olin if he's not already serving in some capacity in that. So.
Well, can we set this up for Thursday?
That'd be fine.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. That'd be fine.
Board appointments Thursday.
So, I guess
it's important that we fill these P&Z positions.
Very important. And the reason that the names keep trickling in, that's the problem, is we've got some good people that can serve on these, but people are starting to get interested because we just come out, I think, last week and asked for the newspaper to put it in there that we needed some board appointments and listed some of these, and so they're starting to come in.
What's your next P&Z meeting?
It'll actually be, let's see, October 11th, because October 10th is a holiday,
so next week,
so
right?
Next Tuesday.
Next week, so Thursday, we'd have to do it Thursday.
Well, I mean, are you want to do one or two today, or you want to wait on these till Thursday? It's up to you.
I would like to make the appointment Thursday, Ron, because okay. we got We'll get two names from Big Creek, Pro Tem, and in that area down in there.
We'll do board appointments on Thursday then.
Okay, that'd be fun.
And I don't know what time yet, so we'll have to wait until we get that from our staff upstairs, Bob. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But can you check on those incorporated?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. I'll definitely have an answer Thursday.
I've got one name for that, and I'll check and see if he's an incorporated area or not. So,
how many do we have serving in the incorporated area now?
That's the thing I need to find out, is how many of these are actually...
Right, but I thought one of them that's stepping down was in the incorporated area, so...
Are you talking about
BOA?
A?
BOA.
Yeah, that's
because
what I...
BOE, I mean, P&Z is zero.
Exactly.
P&Z right. is zero, and BOA is two. Up to two.
Can you tell me who the people are currently that are serving on BOA?
Oh, yeah. It's Tom Gideon.
Where's Tom live?
He's
not in the city, right?
No, he's down Long Beach.
Right.
And then Dave Clemson.
He's not in the city.
Or Clemson, I'm sorry. And Bob Hanselon.
I don't know where Bob Hanselon lives.
Does he still live down Lakeshore Drive?
Yeah, I think he's in the city. I can look find that out.
Lakeshore Drive.
No, he's not in the city.
But he did live down Lakeshore, I think.
We've got his address. Maybe we better not say the full address, but we've got him living on Fork Road. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
That's down Lake. I think that's on Lake Shore. I think that's up in one of those subdivisions.
I'm looking.
Now, you don't know what's the address on the other two. I mean, are they unincorporated?
I'm not 100% sure. I should have looked into that.
Well, just you've got till Thursday to do that.
Okay. I'll make sure and confirm.
Yeah, where Fork Road is, I would not be in the city.
Is it where I thought, Jim, down?
Yeah.
And who else? That was it?
Dave Clemenson. And then Tom Gideon.
They're still all the members.
And then we've got David Johnson. Nelson and Jack Johnston. Okay.
Where does David Nelson live?
And he's on State Highway O.
Okay, that's not city.
And then Johnston is Elmwood Court.
City of Forsyth.
Okay. So it looks like we've likely got one currently incorporated.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much.
appreciate us maybe getting, when we bring these names up, we'll have to look and see where some of these people are located, other than it doesn't make any difference. It makes a big difference in P&Z because they can't serve inside the city limits.
Right. BOA doesn't have district specific, does it?
No.
No.
Just P&Z.
Yeah, so really with the Board of Adjustment, it can just be
anybody,
five Anywhere county residents. The county. Yeah. And then where it gets specific is with P&Z, where they have to be within that township. So, one item I did want to clarify, and I've not had a chance to clarify this with the paper. In the paper, it actually spoke to the two vacancies on the Planning Commission. That those people would need to reside from either the Forsyth area the Board of Adjustment. The article specified that they needed to reside from the same areas.
The replacement?
Yeah, and that's not the case.
No.
So I was going to try to clarify that because I was a little concerned that people would think it was limited to just those areas, but that's not the case.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, if that's all with Bob, we are 9 minutes late to meet with the council.
Motion to go into executive pursuant 610.021.1.2.3.12.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to move into executive session pursuant to 610.021, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Jim aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
We'll be back after 11.